Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Professor Richard Epstein, teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago. In addition, he is at the Civitas Institute, writing about matters that tumble all around us. Tariffs, of course, are dominating the story worldwide, continuing. However, we must attend to Richard's alma mater, Columbia University. Why? I read the news from the Wall Street Journal. The Trump administration is planning to pursue a legal arrangement that would put Columbia University into a consent decree, according to people familiar with the matter. An extraordinary step that could significantly escalate the pressure on the school as it battles for federal funding. Richard, a very good evening to you. What is a consent decree, and does this surprise you? Good evening to you.
Nothing surprises me about the Trump administration. Many years ago, about 20 years ago, I did write a book on antitrust consent decrees, and I think it's extremely important to realize what a potent device they are. What happens is you have somebody who has made some kind of a serious error. And the question is whether or not that part is going to go to jail or whether or not he's going to walk. The consent decree is a kind of an intermediate position which says we will put somebody to watch over what you do. That person becomes both a judge and a prosecutor. And if you violate the terms of the consent decree in whatever way that person seems appropriate, then, in effect, what they will do is put heavy sanctions against you. Generally, the kinds of sanctions that you could put on is left very open-ended, but the routes for appeal are very, very small because there's been a consent decree, that is, you've agreed to all of this. And to give you one famous example, Chris Christie put a consent decree in place with respect to Bristol-Myers Squibb about 15 years ago. And essentially, any time you wanted to do anything, you had to get the approval of those parties who ran the consent decree. And they said, if you deviate one iota from what we demand, we can lower the boom on you and throw you in jail. Now, take that in connection with something like Columbia. What are the conditions that you have to satisfy to meet the consent decree? There's nothing stated in the Trump position as to what those things are. But suppose it turns out that they say is if there's any unlawful demonstration and you don't take care of it, we will remove all your federal funding, or we will decommission a certain academic department, or we will, in effect, prevent you from doing business in a certain way with the federal government. We will basically make it impossible for you to do work with foreign nations or whatever. You cannot sign a consent decree because what it is, it's a blank check. If, in fact, they make a finding of a violation, which you're not in a position to appeal. So Columbia has to fight this with all its might and main. And since what they should do is what I suggested along with other people some time ago, you think there's a serious violation in the way in which we deal with X, Y, and Z. There are remedial procedures to put into place. You should follow them. And that means you may have to give us a hearing. You may have to have a written report by somebody. The sanctions will be limited to the parties who are involved in the particular transaction. And we can do business with that. And so the way to understand the consent decree, it's an effort to circumvent every known protection that are given to grantees, often given to them not only as an abstract matter, but as particular contract. And so I regard this as potentially calamitous for Columbia and any other university, because it's a way of basically trying to nationalize universities under the Trump administration. Many years ago, there was a famous case called Dartmouth College, which you may have heard of, John, in which what happened is the legislature pulled a coup, and it tried to replace all the trustees of an independent college in violation of the terms of the agreement. And Justice Marshall said, you can't do that. Well, this is exactly the same thing in modern guy. These people have a governance structure, and the consent decree says that's irrelevant. We're in charge, and the president of the university and the board of trustees are now supplicant. Now, I'm not trying to defend any particular past action of Columbia. I was horrified by many of the things that he did, and with great sadness, having gotten one of the great educations in the history of civilization from Columbia to 1960 to 1964. I got so disgusted with the rhetoric of the university that I just stopped giving anything to it because I couldn't abide the way in which they were treating. And I now see that their efforts to try and revive a sensible tradition, and if they succeed, I would basically go back to making gifts to the university to help them stay afloat. But I just don't see anything in the current situation which has an upside promise, because it's not just an abstract demand. The Trump administration is the edgiest administration you've ever seen. There isn't a single issue, basically, that is a real major public importance in which they don't push to the limits. I'm not saying it's universal, because one thing I've always agreed with them, and I thought it was a very prudent document, was their attack on birthright citizenship. But that was completely different. That was a case where they said, we're not going to try to apply this retroactively to people who got citizenship under the old rules. We're going to go through court. They've been attacked, but I think they're actually right on the merits. But these things aren't efforts to go through court. They have no relationship to that kind of case. What they're doing, in effect, is they're engaged in a very strong arm operation. And I think that Colombia has to fight it. My view is that they will win. My fear is that what will happen is, in the interim, the current administration will try to impose lesser sanctions upon them, more reductions in grants, whatever it is, bring prosecutions against them. I can't even imagine what they will do, because if you have a central administration which is absolutely determined to think that it can do whatever it wants because it's right in whatever it demands, it's a very, very dangerous situation. And so I'm at this point in favor of virtually every single doctrine that you can imagine, which essentially tries to strip down the arbitrary nature of federal power in the courts.
Wall Street Journal is reporting that this is driven by the government's anti-Semitism task force. I am only here to comment that you and I watched the unacceptable conduct of the university in the spring of 2024.
Absolutely. And I think, in effect, all those people should go to jail or be punished. The man who was the worst man under that circumstances was Alvin Bragg. Because when Ms. Shafflin decided she'd call in the police, he just let everybody go on the grounds, hey, they were wearing masks. I don't know who they are, even though I have them in handcuffs. I mean, what Trump might want to do, since he's a civil rights violation, is that people who are involved punish them. He has this guy, Mr. Hafflin, whatever his name is, I keep forgetting. And what's so crazy about that case is they don't tell us what the allegations are against him. My view is he was probably the ringleader of everything that took place inside the building, which would mean that he is responsible for those things along with the people who entered the building. It's a joint causation case, as it turns out to be. But the government won't say what their case against him is.
Professor, I want to recover my memory of our conversations.
Yeah.
The faculty vouchsafed this by saying very little to nothing.
I agree with that. And my view is,
so going after one or two graduate students or one or two administrators is not speaking to what we observed at the time.
I agree with that. The whole point about this is what the administration should do is to back the trustees of Columbia, if they get some backbone, in order to make sure that they could change the nature of things. I mean, the receiverships and stuff is really an important issue. I mean, what's happened, and this is not just the recent administration.
And this is about research funds, correct? I mean, nominally, it's about losing government support.
Yeah, what they're doing is they're trying to pull away the research funds, showing a violation of Title VI without going through the requirements to do this under Title VI. And I think the principle of legality is important. I also think what they should try to do is work constructively with the Columbia board to the extent that it's willing to do so. And I'm not sure about that, but I think they are. In an effort to try to change the internal culture. What you said is clearly right, and it's what worried me. You start looking at the pattern of appointments to the faculty, and it turns out that you get a faculty which is sort of 98% to 90% to the left and 2% to the middle. And when I mean to the middle, I don't mean Republicans or Libertarian. I mean conservative Democrats as well. And so what you are pointing out is that there is a desperate need on the part of Columbia to fundamentally reorient the system of faculty governance and faculty appointment. The trustees can do that, I would hope, but I'm not sure. I mean, John, I have another very gloomy thought about all of this, which is what Columbia needs to do is to have a fundamental reorganization. What it does is it that takes all the healthy divisions, spins them off, and calls this Columbia University number two, and then liquidates the rest of the operation. That sounds crazy.
Richard,
that's maybe what's going
to
happen.
I want to turn to tariffs because we're talking about a global crisis, but I ask this question to myself. If I had a grandchild lucky enough to enter Columbia University, and the choice was between Columbia and the University of Texas, Richard, I'm not sure what I would say.
Well, I would probably say Texas.
Yes.
I mean, it's really appalling. And what happens is we need to have the right response, not an over response or a really coercive response, because the remedy in this case may be as dangerous as the disease. I'm not really optimistic about all of this. And I know, and one of the things about the University of Texas is the Civitas Institute. The way in which they started, it was a brand new unit, so they didn't have any legacy problems to deal with. And Columbia needs some brand new units without legacy problems.
I mentioned that in these last days, a report at the National Review Online underlined that a former prime minister of Israel was speaking at Princeton University, and the university permitted a non-student to shout down the prime minister during the exchange.
Well, I think Mr. Eisgruber is really in the crosshairs. He has to prosecute and remove all those people, and he has to discipline the students that did this. I saw the same tapes that you did, and there were 120 people sitting silently being abused, and everybody else screaming genocide while committing something that was pretty close.
There was no response. I saw no security. I saw no vetting. I saw nobody paid a penalty for it.
And we've heard some bribe words, but I think his future, and he's a really smart man, by the way, another one of my students, really smart, but either he steps up or he steps out.
And this is to underline, not to target. This is a broad problem in the elite universities, Richard. It's not going to be solved by consent decree for Columbia University.
Yes, as I told you, reorganization, establishment of new divisions is the only way this will work. If you allow the faculty to have a veto on this, given its lopsided composition, a practice which has gone back for 20 or so years, it won't get done. It's a great tragedy, John. I mean, I can't tell you, as somebody who's been educated by a school to whom I owe everything, to see is the decline in terms of the way in which it operates. And then you see when there are efforts made to try to resurrect it, the central administration may take steps that will destroy any possibility of internal reform.
University of Texas, I've decided. Okay, Richard Epstein, Professor Richard Epstein. We're going to the Civitas Institute article by Richard, so we can remark at the end of this tumultuous week about tariffs. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use. You look amazing. What have you been doing?
You've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, if you qualify, Zelthy providers can prescribe semaglutide, the same active ingredient, at up to 90% less without insurance. Done all online.
No wait at the doctor's office or pharmacy?
No wait. Zelthy can ship the same active ingredients as other expensive GLP-1s to your door.
Get started with Zelthy today for just $39. Call #250 and say keyword care. That's the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less. That's #250 keyword care.